The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Reading from verse 16 to 18. The Bible says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I take it again. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The title of today's message is Thanksgiving with a hyphen or dash, the will of God. Thanksgiving hyphen, the will of God. There are three verses that we have just read. The first one says, rejoice evermore. Rejoicing evermore means rejoice for the rest of your life. Rejoice unceasingly. Rejoice continually. Let nothing take the opportunity to quench your joy. Find a way of preserving your joy, defending your joy, keeping your joy, maintaining your joy, so that you can celebrate that joy in a rejoicing manner forevermore. Can I ask you to find a way of rejoicing, whether by a clap, whether by a shout, whether by a praise, whether by a celebration? I know some of you are going to give me just some 20 seconds of shout. But the scripture says, rejoice evermore. Come on, start rejoicing. Rejoice to the maximum. Rejoice to the glory of God. Rejoice to the satisfaction of God. Rejoice in fulfillment of scripture. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the morning. Rejoice in the afternoon. Rejoice in the evening. Rejoice at midnight. And rejoice after midnight. Rejoice on Monday. Rejoice on Tuesday. Rejoice on Wednesday. Rejoice on Thursday. And rejoice on Friday. Rejoice on Saturday. And when it's Sunday morning, you can double the rejoicing as well. Rejoice in January. I say rejoice in February. I say rejoice in March. I didn't hear you. Rejoice in April. Rejoice in May. Rejoice in June. And rejoice in July. Rejoice in August. I say rejoice in September. Rejoice in October. Rejoice in November. And can you double the rejoicing in December, somebody? Rejoice this year. Rejoice next year. And rejoice the following years. Very simple scripture. Very simple scripture. The second one says, pray without ceasing. Don't wait for a 7-day fast to be declared before you start praying. Don't wait for a 21 or 14-day fast or a 30 or 40-day fast to be declared before you start praying. I remember I came in touch with a young man who would later become a minister of the gospel around me. The church in which he was, they prayed a lot. But one confession he made was that anytime he was coming into my house, two houses away, he would hear my voice. Not that I was shouting, but he would hear my voice in the air, just ascending in prayers. Then he told himself, my church prays, but I don't have a private prayer life. He picked it from there, and it was to transform his whole life. And today he's one of the persons that really love to pray. Can you put your hands together for that? So there are some of you who perform prayer publicly, but your private prayers are poor. You don't find time to rise to say thank you to God. You don't find time to commune with God. Those who communicate with God, they are the most powerful people on earth. If you feel that by getting money in your family, that's when they will respect you, I beg to differ. If you have power in the supernatural, your impact will be felt. Then the other things that must accompany your life will follow. Honor will be released. Favor will be released. When you speak, the wisdom of God will come. And other contradictory voices which are not of God will be silenced. So when you get up, contact God and do your prayers for yourself, for your family, for the church, for the community in which you live, for the nation. Do prayers. Don't have a good public life of prayer and a poor private life of prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. So whether there's trouble or no trouble, you must be praying. For those of you who are using prayer like a spare tire, you wait when you have a flat tire before you remove the spare tire of prayer and fix it, you are mistaken. In fact, all your four tires must be prayer. And the spare tire must be prayer. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So you are driving on the wheels of prayer. And if you have to replace one because it's gone flat, it is still prayer. You must be praying under your breath continually. My children grew up seeing me just praying. And I'll start in the very early hours, because there was a certain number of hours that I sensed that God wanted me to do at a particular stage in my life. I kept a journal, a personal journal. And I wrote in it the time I woke up. I wrote the number of hours I prayed. I wasn't doing it for anybody, and I wasn't doing it to go and brag. But I wrote the number of hours, the books I read. So if I didn't read for 3 days, it showed in the personal journal. The tithes I gave, I recorded it. And at the end of the month, although at that time I wasn't in employment, when I calculated the cumulative of the gifts that I had, they were equal to the salary of someone else working in an office. So it was then that I had an eye-opener that sometimes God can bless you, but if you don't take note of it well, you may think that God has not blessed you. You may ask God for 3,000 CDs, and he may choose to bring it in 200s and 300s and 100s. If you put all together, that 3,000 would have been fulfilled. I didn't hear an amen. So I would wake up, and one of the children will require for Milo. Meanwhile, mommy will be attending to an infant. And I'll be speaking in tongues and preparing the milo, and my child will be talking to me and put sugar in it. I say, okay, my young Vasili Bakaya. And I'll pray nonstop till they had their breakfast. I have noticed that one of my children now has picked that lifestyle. And anytime that she's walking around me, she's speaking in tongues under her breath more than me. Then I look at her and say, hey. Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And he was not kidding. Because he was a leader called of God. And he found occasions to pray under his breath. You can watch television and watch your favorite program and still pray under your breath. Because we are in warfare. In the days of Nehemiah, they had one hand bearing the implements for construction of the wall. And in another hand, they had the weapon. So while you have the teaspoon for stirring the milo, you have in the other hand prayer. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, let me hear a better amen. If you leave things like that, the devil will fill the gap for you. And every time you have to start dealing with it, it takes you back, so you never go forward. But when consistently under your breath, and you have a place to hide momentarily and pray, then that is a blessing. Apart from my family, I love to drive alone. Because it gives me opportunity to pray the way I want in traffic. When people are complaining, I'm either praising God or I am praying. Or I'm listening to the word of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So you must have a lifestyle of unceasing prayers. A lifestyle of unceasing prayer. When I was in the university, we'll go and pray on the football pitch, wake up at 4 a.m., Pastor Michael Kwashi and I, we were roommates, and we'll go together and pray and come back to wash down so we could rush to the lecture room. The noisemakers were at the back, so when you went to the lecture room, those who were not quite serious in class were at the back, and they would be doing cat calls and all kinds of things, and any little thing they would just exaggerate it and say, yeah. So I sat in front because I didn't want anybody to interfere with the prayers under my breath. Normally the first few seats in front were vacant, so nobody was too close to me. When we say pray without ceasing, we mean that don't stop your prayers. And sometimes what aids this thing is to defer your meals. I love the nutritionist. They'll tell you breakfast is the best meal. I love their advice. But God has trained me without breakfast. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Until I, you know, those were the days, until I achieve what I want, I didn't touch a meal. Because I needed to meditate on the next message and communion with God in my heart. I'm telling you this for you to know the practicality of praying without ceasing. And some of you destune as soon as we're out of church. And the next time you retune will be a midweek service. And that's not good enough. A child of God must be praying. And you must be praying without ceasing. If I have witnesses here, you can shout on that and clap to God's glory. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5 is our focus for today. Because the title of the message is Thanksgiving, the will of God. Now verse 18 says, in everything. Now before I even expatiate on 18, you realize that verse 16, rejoice evermore. You are doing it without stopping. Then verse 17, pray without ceasing, doing it without stopping. And verse 18 follows similarly. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Amplified Version says, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Take it again. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Now, the latter part of the King James, he says that, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in another translation is rendered towards you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you. There is nothing better than the will of God. There is nothing better than the desires of God for you. There is nothing better than the inclination of God, the thoughts of God, the aspirations of God for you. So if this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, then this must be the best thing that is happening to you at every moment. You would have also noticed that before the Bible talks about thanksgiving in verse 18, it talks about prayer in verse 17. So verse 18 follows verse 17, and 17 says pray without ceasing, 18 says give thanks. So before the thanksgiving, God had situated prayer. I will show you a few examples through scriptures about how God plays prayer together with thanksgiving. Because if in all things you must give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, then we must understand what we must do in the mechanics so that the dynamics of the blessings will reach us. Now, thanksgiving is inseparably joined to prayer. Thanksgiving is inseparably joined to prayer. Your ability to thank God is a product of your continuous prayers. Thanksgiving is inseparably joined to prayer. And your ability to thank God continuously is a product of your continuous prayers. I give you the first example. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. By what? Prayer. Oh, come on, church. You are not preaching. By what? Prayer and supplication. Say it louder this time. By what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is inseparably woven to prayers. I'll give you another example. Daniel chapter 6, reading from verse 10. The Bible says that Daniel knelt 3 times a day, opened his window toward Jerusalem, and Daniel prayed and gave thanks. Daniel prayed and gave thanks. Your prayer opens your understanding. Your prayer connects you to divine revelation. Your prayer brings to bear in your spirit what God wants you to even thank him about. So Daniel prayed and gave thanks. That's Daniel 6:10 following. The third example is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Don't stop. Don't pray at the convention only, and when you finish, I'm excited about some believers. They would do well in praying for 21 days, 30 days, and when they finish, they completely distuned from prayer until the next year when fasting and prayers are declared. But the Bible says, continue in prayer. Tell the next person, continue in prayer, continue in prayer. I didn't quite hear you. Tell another person, continue in prayer nonstop. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. That can be translated, devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Be alert and thankful. Can I ask you to be thankful in this service? Can I just be thankful? Just be thankful. Just be thankful. So I've given you three examples. I'll give you the fourth one. Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas had been beating up for preaching the gospel and casting out a demon for no particular offense that they have committed. They were put in their cells and their feet were fastened in stocks with the chains holding them. And the Bible says everybody went to sleep. And at midnight, Paul and Silas got up and they started praying and they praised God. So, thanksgiving is inseparably joined to prayer. And your ability to thank God is a product of your continuous prayers. People who pray may have dealt with a matter ahead. So if you bring the story, they say, thank you so much for the information. I believe God is in charge. Father, I thank you. That's all. And they move on. Oh, come on, put your hands together. As they prayed and sang at midnight, the Bible says the other prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. So it wasn't even just Paul and Silas who had their bands loosed. When salvation comes into a city through a believer, it may even reach the unbelievers. When salvation comes into a household, a family, through a believer, it will even reach the unbelievers and they will be rejoicing. Shout amen. When salvation comes through the ministry, through the leader, the Bible says the oil that went on Aaron's head went through his beard and fell into the skirts of his garment. There is an anointing that God will distribute over the entire body, over both leadership and over the following. And it's important to appreciate the fact that the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So I'm going back to our anchor scripture. And in our anchor scripture, it talks about, in everything gives thanks. I'm not hearing an amen. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God? The will of God in this particular case is to give thanks. So complaining is not the will of God. No matter how you feel, no matter how you rationalize it, no matter how you justify, complaining is a useless venture. It actually negates your progress. Murmuring is not to be desired and tolerated. Backbiting is to be frowned upon. Ingratitude is not to be accepted. Bitterness, resentment must be a thing of the past, because the scripture does not say that murmuring is the will of God. It tells us specifically what the will of God is, and it tells us that it is thanksgiving which is the will of God. In other words, what is the will of God brings pleasure and joy to the heart of God. If what you are saying or you are doing doesn't bring pleasure to the heart of God, then you are getting it completely wrong. So let's pick this first clause. In everything. And explain it. In everything. In everything. What does that mean? In everything means in the good or bad circumstances. Thank God. In the beautiful or ugly situation. Thank God. In situations of riches or poverty. Thank God. In successful moments or when failure has struck you. Thank God. In joyous or in sad moments. Thank God. That is to say, in whatever situation you find yourself, look for a good reason to thank God. The circumstance may be very bad, but in whatever situation you find yourself, there is always a good reason you can find to thank God. The Bible says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It didn't say, for this is the will of God in your family background concerning you. It didn't say, this is the will of God in the nation Ghana concerning you. It didn't say, this is the will of God in the Jangma family concerning you. No. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It was not written for nothing. In Christ Jesus. So, you must find a reason in Christ to praise God. God promised in the book of Genesis that Christ was going to come and he will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will just bruise him, and he will have victory and will restore the authority that man lost back to humanity. So one reason Jesus came for this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came so that it will start the process of his messianic office and bring to pass his works of salvation. Jesus died because of our sins, because God will not accept any other person's blood, any other person's sacrifice. Nobody was qualified. So Jesus died because of our sins, and he paid the penalty through his death. He suffered death. He was crucified. He was beaten. He was spat upon. And he did all these things simply to bring humanity salvation. And thirdly, Jesus rose up from the grave for our justification. We were sinners, condemned. God didn't want to see us, didn't want to have anything to do with us, but he would only accept the sacrifice of Christ. So the coming of Christ going to the cross to die, and Christ rising from the grave for our justification. The death of Christ brought the new covenant into existence, and his blood ratified it. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. His blood sealed the new covenant. So the Bible says now we have access to the throne of God, where through the new and living way by the blood of Jesus, access is given to us to God through the new and living way by the blood of Jesus. So the resurrection of Christ and his ascension has enabled him to supervise his word, to ensure that what is written in the volumes of his will, which is the inheritance that he left for us, will be given to us. So Jesus' death was the highest demonstration of his love for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Now, based on this analysis that I have just made, you can now thank God for what is made abundantly available for you. You can now thank God for his mercies. You can now thank God for his grace. You can now thank God for his salvation. You can now thank God for his forgiveness. You can now thank God for reintegrating you into the family of God. You can now thank God for sanctifying you and making you pure and setting you aside to be a priest and a king to the Most High God. You can now thank God that the Holy Spirit has come to indwell you. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You can now thank God for the kingdom that is to come, that we are waiting the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, as many as are expecting Christ, purify themselves. In the multitude of these few things I have outlined, I want you to know there is every reason for which you can praise God in all things. I expect that you spontaneously will be rejoicing and celebrating and clapping and showing God that you are grateful for his mercy. Can you thank God that you have sound mind, that you are not out of your mind, that you are not crazy yet? Can you thank God that you have not been struck by loss of memory? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And you can remember what you ate last week. You can remember whom you met yesterday. You can remember. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Thank you. You are simply saying that there may have been an attack of the enemy, but Father, you made provision already for my restoration, for which I thank you. In all things, give thanks unto the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in the most negative of circumstances, there is always a positive thing that you can thank God for, because he's still working in the affairs of men, and the latter end for you will be better than the former. The Bible says, for all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. We are to thank God in all things, not necessarily for all things. We are to thank God in the circumstance that he's still God. In the lion's den, he's still God. In the fire heated 7 times, he's still God. In the belly of the big fish under the sea, he's still God. Oh, come on. In your disappointments, he's still God. In your moments of fulfillment, he's still God. Oh, I'm not hearing you. You're not preaching alongside me. I say he's still God. Whether you got the capital or not, he's still God. And somebody must bow to that God. So now let's define what thanksgiving is. I have a few definitions of thanksgiving here. Number one, thanksgiving is virtually the same as showing gratitude. Gratitude will be defined by the attitude that you show in your thanksgiving. So what is gratitude, if you like? Number one, it is showing appreciation for kindness shown to you. Gratitude is showing appreciation for kindness shown to you. Number two, gratitude is your response to the favor and kindness shown to you. It's showing appreciation. It is your response to the favor shown to you. Number three, gratitude means focusing on the good that you have received or are about to receive, and being thankful for those things. Focusing on the good that you have received or about to receive, and being thankful for those things. I met a lady. She was bereaved. And there was a funeral for her relative. Over 1,000 people were in attendance. It was a beautiful ceremony. Her late relative was greatly honored through all the tributes and the different personalities who were in attendance. But I met the same lady a month later, and she was bitter about only one person who didn't attend. She had allowed this one person who didn't attend, that feeling negative, to eclipse all the other goodness. The 1,000 people who came, the words of encouragement, the condolences, the envelopes that went ahead, the various people that called her and promised to stand with her further, the church that supported, and all that, she had forgotten about all that. But she had picked on only one person who didn't attend. I have something for you. You will not necessarily receive all the monies that you expect before the funeral. Some monies may come 2 months after the funeral. In fact, some monies may come 1 year after the funeral. And when they are coming, they will come solid. So don't act as if the gate of Jerusalem has been shut after the burial. So because of that, you are angry with the rest of the people who didn't come. This is an example of somebody who deliberately selected a negative event and allowed it to supersede all the positive events which would have given her an opportunity to praise God. When people want to leave a church, they forget about all the positive things that ever happened to them, and they latch on just one event and blow it out of proportion and say that the church is not good. I suffered malaria for 5 days and nobody called me. Could you not have sent a text? Could you not have asked a relative to call your people? When you're not well and you work with an organization, what do? You call them. You inform them. But why is it that you're expecting the church to be magicians? You are just picking on one negative event and blowing it out of proportion. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear a good amen. There's a barber I know, and he was working with another colleague who owned the barbering shop. They had worked for years, almost 20 years. And somehow it came to a time that this barber felt that he should be on his own. And it's understandable. It's understandable. Instead of going there to the barbering shop to thank the colleague he had worked with, the joyous moments they had shared together, the lovely jokes they cracked, the meals they bought together to eat, and the support they gave to one another, he went to pick on one negative thing and went to the barbering shop and went to blast the guy. And the guy was his colleague, the same age, about the same, and the guy was quiet. Then he left. Then he started calling the clients of this barbering shop. And I wonder how many people responded. Because this is a bitter person who over 20 years could not find good reasons for showing gratitude, but picked on one thing, and because of that was angry. It was the same with Israel in the wilderness. The same with Israel in the wilderness. God said that I will give you the land that floweth with milk and honey. And there's a testimony that the things there are good. And the spies went there. They brought grapes, huge, such as has never been seen before on earth. Yet they said that we saw the people, they were descendants of Anna, and we are not able to conquer them. And they spread negativity throughout the congregation. If you are negative, don't destroy the rest of the family by spreading it. Keep it to yourself till God helps you to overcome it. Because you can destroy your family like the 10 spies did, by spreading the negative thing, and you will not be spared. God had been with them. Look at how he raised Moses. Look at how he contended with Pharaoh. Look at the 10 plagues that came against Israel at the declarations of Moses. Sorry, against Egypt at the declarations of Moses, which activated the hand of God to work. Look at the final deliverance by they killing a 1,000,000-year-old lamb and collecting the blood and sprinkling it on their doorposts. God spared them from death, yet they were not grateful. God parted the waters of the Red Sea and got them out and drowned Pharaoh and his army, their chariots and their charioteers were all drowned, and they sank at the other side. But just when they got to the waters of Marah, the thing started again. Stop being picky in an ungodly way to focus on the fact that the house that you live in is a bad house. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, what did he say? He says, if you have to know how to thank God, then you must remember all his benefits. Benefits of divine health, benefits of protection, benefits of God fighting battles for you, both the ones you see and the ones you do not see. God giving you incomes, benefits of releasing his angels to come and come back, demonic spirits for you, benefits. You can't just be choosy, choose one thing and label a church as bad. You will make another person also look at that attitude and label you as bad. So number one, gratitude means showing appreciation for kindness done to you or shown to you. Number two, gratitude is your response to the favor shown towards you. Number three, it is focusing on good that you have received or about to receive and being thankful for those things. Focus on the good. Focus on the good. You may focus on the hurt, it will hurt you. It may destroy you. Number four, gratitude is an expression of your trust and confidence in God in relation to what he can do in spite of the current challenging circumstances. I'll take it again. Gratitude is an expression of trust and confidence in God in relation to what he can do in spite of current challenging circumstances. The fact that the circumstances are challenging doesn't mean that God has become small. The fact that the circumstances are challenging doesn't mean that God has become powerless and ceased to be God. The fact that the circumstances are challenging does not mean God has forgotten about you. But your continual thanksgiving to him is an expression or manifestation of your trust and confidence in him in relation to what he can do for you in spite of the many negative things. A person may lose his job and lose that good income. That same person may not be able to pay accommodation when the rent expires, and that same person may have difficulty in paying school fees. That same person may have challenges of putting food on the table. That same person may have challenges with transportation, but God is still God. Oh, come on, put your hands together. And your gratitude to him is an affirmation of your trust and your confidence in him. Oh, say a good amen. So I'm now moving to how to be grateful. I started with one. How can you show gratitude? How can you develop this culture of thanksgiving. Number one, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all his benefits. Your ability to bless God will be based on you remembering the benefits. Today you can talk, so you can use the same voice and say you are angry with God and talk against him. But the day he silences you like he did to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, and takes your power of speech, you will find that you cannot talk any longer. And you will be humbled. So if you have the power to speak, never speak against God. And never speak against the people God has appointed. God has appointed your parents, never talk against them. He has appointed the political leader, the king, the chief, never talk against them. He has appointed the spiritual leader, don't talk against them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then that scripture begins to outline some of the benefits. Number one, he says that he forgiveth all thy sins. Number two, he healeth all thine diseases. All. Number three, he redeems your life from destruction. Today, somebody's life will be redeemed from accident, from premature death, from destruction. Number four, he crowns your life with his loving kindness and tender mercies. Number six, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your strength is renewed like that of the eagles. Remember what God has done for you. Ungrateful people forget what has been done for them. They just forget. The enemy attacks them and shuts down their capacity to remember any good things that were done for them. You have never blamed your relatives for not helping you while you were sick. You have big cousins, males and females. You have big aunties, political aunties, big uncles, big family heads and Ebusia pains. You have never gone there to blame them for not supporting you. But you have the audacity to walk to church and to blame the church. There's something I don't understand. Number two way, which facilitates your gratitude to God, is to change your perspective for the better. When your thoughts are too focused on the material world, you are not able to thank God. But when your perspective changes and you begin to focus on eternal things, then it will well up some praise inside you. What Paul and Silas went through in the natural was nothing to be desired about and was nothing that should have brought thanksgiving. But they had a focus, their perspective was eternal. And as they considered the eternal rewards, it assisted them, it helped them to praise God. Number three, have a disposition to praise or thank God at all times. In other words, have an inclination. When the psalmist says, I will praise the Lord at midnight, this was a disposition he had, and he would wait till midnight and praise him. And when the same psalmist says, seven times a day will I praise God, then the psalmist is saying, that my disposition is that like every 3.5 hours or something, I will praise God. The psalmist did it for a long time. It became his habit. So the psalmist, assuming he was driving, he would lift up one right hand and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm in traffic and things are fine. I also thank you that you are holding me and I'm traveling from my origin to a destination. And you will help me arrive at my destination. Father, I thank you that the business that I'm going to do there, you will help me, you will assist me. And so you are thanking God. You are even coming to church and say, Father, you will use the preacher man to preach the word and be a blessing to me. That's even gratitude. I remember last, on our weeknight service here, last week, Reverend Hyde, when in the course of preaching, I preach on a message, you should go and watch it. What was the title? Oh. It has to do with you will recover your ark. That lost ark that was taken away by the Philistines. You will recover it. Then in the course of the message, I was making declarations. Then to Reverend Hyde, the Holy Spirit just brought a flash of a scripture in Acts of Apostles to him. By the time he opened it and was looking at it, I was quoting the scripture and saying, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to save you and build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saints. And, oh, come on, you're not clear, you people. Oh, is that all you can do? Oh, is that all you can do? He hadn't thought about the scripture when he came, you know. But in the course of the message, he felt that this scripture would connect. Then he opened the scripture, and I had also not meditated on that scripture to use in my message because it wasn't in my notes. And then all of a sudden, it just came. God has a way of encouraging you. Oh, come on, come on, come on. And these are the things you should be grateful to God about. That at the end of the service, Pastor, I didn't understand these things all this while. But today you have shed light on it. Look at this small scripture. In everything, give thanks to God. And you are breaking it down because God broke it down for me. So you must find a way of being grateful to God. I want you to show your personal gratitude. Look, you don't have to have money in your pocket to do that. Your bank account doesn't have to be filled with monies. You may not have settled all your debts. Your salary may not have been paid, although 10 months into the following month has arrived. Sorry, 10 days into the following month. But you can shout hallelujah and shout glory to God because you are rejoicing evermore. Evermore. The songwriter says, I'll praise my God while I have breath. So I said, number one, your ability to praise God depends on you not forgetting his benefits. Number two, change your perspective. Number three, your disposition 7 times a day. In other words, practice thanksgiving practically. Engage in thanksgiving practically. Number four, develop a personal philosophy and discipline to thank God. Develop a personal philosophy and a discipline to thank God. What is a philosophy? A philosophy, some people will say it's a theory, but let me bring it down. A philosophy becomes an attitude that enables you to act by a certain guiding principle that influences your behavior. So first of all, it's an attitude, and this enables you to act based on a certain guiding principle that becomes your behavior. So there are many institutions that have their philosophy. And much as a nation can have a philosophy, and a business organization can have a philosophy, you as an individual can also have a certain philosophy. I'll tell you this negative philosophy that an elderly woman that I know, who was closely related to the family, engaged in. She had this philosophy that in the end, it is only termites who will eat you up. So why waste your time? Why bother yourself? So she wouldn't take any means of transportation. She will walk 10 miles, because at the end there, 40 nibayibo. She lived quite a miserable life, because the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, I will bless you with the good of the land. But her philosophy was purely opposed. Meanwhile, when she died, a coffin had to be bought, a grave had to be paid for, a shawl had to be bought with money. Don't talk about the other things. But that personal philosophy was very selfish and very myopic, and was not looking into life to work, prosper, and help others. But that philosophy that at the end of all things, fote baibo. Then God should not have created us at all. He told Adam, dress it and keep it. In other words, develop the garden. Add value to it. So there are some personal philosophies that defeat you. But there are others. The Bible says that the righteous man falleth 7 times, he will rise again. I remember this brother we worship with, and I've told the story before. Now, Betty and I saw him off at Kutuka Airport. It wasn't the new airport. It was the old airport where you could shake hands over a small barricade. When the person had checked in and was about to enter the aircraft, he could even hug the person across the small, low barricade there. This guy was like a 6-footer. And we saw him off. Said he was going to the United Kingdom Friday evening. Then Sunday morning, we drove to church. By the time we got to church, this was a thick, tall guy wearing a white shirt, a tie, and black trousers, standing at the gate to welcome us. But you were supposed to be in London. He says, yes. What happened? He passed through a wrong gate. That gate would have taken him to the Republic of Ireland. And he went to join a line, and he hadn't got a ticket. Something, I don't know what. And the people picked him up and repatriated him to Ghana. Instead of coming to Ghana in shamefacedness, to come and hide and blame God and weep and say, the whole world knows that I've been repatriated. No, it was mommy and I and one other person who saw him off. Your mind can exaggerate some things. Who knows you? Bo namolebo. Your mind can make you feel like you are the president of the Republic of Ghana. That anything that happens to you, everybody knows. The media houses know, Joy FM knows, and City FM, and which other FMs know? Tatale FM, and all those people know. Listen to me. This guy had the philosophy of despising the shame. Oh, you know why people commit suicide? Because they don't have the philosophy to despise shame. Yep. If you were a pastor and you were brought back that way, you would be in the pulpit on Sunday preaching, because otherwise you are losing your job. Have good philosophies that will take you through life, and not the bojua bojua philosophies. Have a philosophy to thank God. Be grateful. Whoever sends you even two pieces of handkerchiefs, thank the person. Whoever buys six pieces of agbelika cloth for you, call the person and thank the person. The little things you take for granted, you will not be able to do it when the big one comes, because you haven't learned it. You haven't cultivated the spirit of gratitude. Listen to me. You may be expecting money, but God may send somebody to bring you two shirts. Receive it with gratitude, because the money is on the way. Don't look at it. Sometimes you can see it on the person's face. That is saying, nibeje shirt in tawo. Receive it with gratitude and put it aside and wait for the miracle to come. And don't have, if you bring it, I will take it, I will put it aside and continue with my prayers. When there will be need for it, and I will reach out for it. When I dress with it, you will ask, Reverend, when did you get it? It's been with me 2 years. And today I felt like adoring it. Oh, come on, clap, clap, thank God. Oh, please, clap more. Despise the shame. They threw you out of job, and so what? How many people you were thrown out of job? Had it not been you who opened your mouth, would they have known? Despise the shame. And some people don't come to church and backslide. For me, you do it. The next moment, I'm in the woods. A pastor here lost the infant born. Within a few days, the infant was gone. And moved straight to the woods. Now he has three children trying to overtake me. Will you overtake me with childbirth? His pain was transmitted to prayer, and he placed it before the throne of God with gratitude and said, God, let your power be seen. Cancel the effect of the first one. Oh, you are not clapping, you are not clapping, you are not clapping. Some of you act as if when a husband or a man jilts a woman, then it's the church. For me, how does it come? When you were contracting the relationship, was I there? I don't know what is said to you that, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same Araba. Oh, man. Did I say Araba? No, I'll change it. All men shall praise you. I was not there when he said, how amiable is thy company, Sister Jolly Jolly.
I was not there when he said that you are like honey in my tea bread. Somebody say tea bread. Come on, mini fiobo. And you cultivated a relationship. And relationships either work or they don't work. If the guy has other intentions and he checked out of the relationship, it's okay. But sometimes it's based on the way we are not married, but the way we portray the relationship. We are on social media everywhere. We are on Twitter. We are on what? Even Zoom. We are on Zoom. What? You're on Thread. And what? You're everywhere. Have you seen me portray any of my international travel pictures anywhere? It's not everything that others do that God may want you to do. By all means, show one or two. The way you portray it, and if it doesn't work, then you feel that you should commit suicide. No. Walk tall into church and say, God has a better man for me. So he is moved out of my life. Come and stand in intercessory time. Start praying to Makua. Yebebebebe. Tuatata. Brand notoyo. Pray so glory increases on you. So he knows he made a mistake. But don't sorrow so glory disappears from you and leaks away from you. And do that. You must be better off than when he left you. Study the word. Listen to the message. Pray. Seek for counseling. You must have a good philosophy. A philosophy of thanking God and thanking others who have contributed in making you arrive where you are. They may have done it when you were 7 years old. Remember it. They may have helped you at 12, at 17, at 24, whatever it is. You remember it. You give gratitude to God. I'm asking you to clap, but some people are not clapping out of their hearts. They are just doing something on the periphery. Oh, come on, put your hands together and shout to God's glory. For somebody to give his congregation to you to stand before and preach, then this person both loves and respects you. You can't take it for granted. You feel like you are the man of God. That is right. There are many men of God. Despising the shame. Your philosophy is that you will bounce back. I didn't hear an amen. You bounce back. Nobody here will remain down. You will rise again. You will rise again. You are headed for the top. You are headed for the top. Things are changing for the better. God is in charge. He works in the affairs of men. His glory shall be revealed. His power shall be demonstrated. His anointing shall direct you. In the name of Jesus Christ, nothing will reduce you. Nothing will hem you in. Nothing will put you in a tight corner. You are coming out. You are coming out. Greater and better. You are coming out. Your day of manifestation, your day of glorification is about to come. So get something busy doing for God's glory. Those who fail to support you, live for God that they will regret it. Oh, come on, come on. I say that they will regret that they didn't support you.
prosper so much that when they come to you, they are the people who come and say, oh, inuncho, inuncho. Namo obake yo icho, namo ji inuncho. Joseph prospered, and his brothers came to bow. Develop a personal philosophy. Prayer should be like your breath. Develop the philosophy that you will make contact with God on a daily basis in the Word of God and through prayer before you set out. I was talking to somebody and I was told that it looks like every quarter, I don't know, but this person is top person in the media. So it looks like every quarter now, they will increase the tariffs on electricity. Oh. They did it a few weeks back. So now when you buy the thing, it doesn't run the same number of weeks that it used to. It has reduced. Imagine the next 3 months. They make you pay higher tariffs. It means that the money that was giving you something for 3 weeks may now give you for 1.5 weeks. And you sit down, you say you won't pray. You must be going ahead of the times. I want you to please rise up. Oh, that should be spontaneous clapping. This one, it doesn't cost anything. I want you to please rise up. Can you lift up your voice? We're talking about thanksgiving. But thanksgiving is inseparably joined to prayers. Lift up your voice. You know what you want God to do for you. You know the dream you had yesterday. You know the warfare you must do. You know what you have been sensing in your spirit, that wickedness of the devil. We declare it shall not materialize. We declare it shall not materialize. The wickedness of the wicked shall come to naught. Miando saya brosh teleriba. Can you lift up your voice? Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and begin to call upon your God. Yababa sundere kia stelere bakaya. Imanduri bikia boselere bekia taya. Ayelere bakonana masaya brosh telere mama. Imandiri bikaya brosh telere mamandiri bikaya. Ayelere bebendoro boselere mama taya. Ayanlara bakaya brosh telere bakaya. Ey shalara basu. Abia selere mamandoro bokia. Ayanna namakia solere maka. Hirodo soyombro stelere makaya. Imanda namasilere makaya. Ayenne ne mekia selere bekia. Oh, you will call upon your God. And he will answer. And he will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You will call upon your God, and while you still pray, he will avert the evil. He will destroy the plans and the tokens of the diviners. He will overturn their tables. Hey, shalarabakia. The wicked that they have imagined shall never come to pass. Yemamondarabazilerebekia. By the tokens of the blood, you are delivered. The church is delivered. Father, your people are delivered. We curse the plan of the devil. We cancel accidents on the byway and accidents on the highway. with cancer, domestic accident, industrial accident, an accident on the highway and byways. We destroy the destroyer. Lima manduri bisia. Ayelere matunda ravakaya. Yababa suata ta 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 ta. Your child will not die. Yima masuanda kaya. Ayelere bekia saya. Ayelere bekia stelere bekia. Ayelere bakaya breast stelere bakaya. Imanda kaya breast telere bakaya. Ayelere bekia stelere bekaya. Ayelere bekia stelere bekaya. Ayelere bekia stelere bekaya. Shandarabasia. 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 Imanda rabakia staya. Ayebebe taya breke mezia. Ayelere mezia. Ibandirikia. Ibandiri vikia. Ibandiri vikia. Shababaluata. Lobabosia kataya. Yenere mezia. Imayake abasaya breshtele rebekia. Ayele rebekia abasaya. Ayele rebezia. Ayele rebekia stakata. Yabia stele rebekia. Ayele rebekia bostaya. Ayele rebekia abasaya. Imandara bakia abasaya. Ayele rebekia staya. Ayele rebekia staya. Ayele rebekia staya. Ayama bandiri bekaya. Yaba suakata, rekresteke paradakaya, ayibi abakaya brestelerebekia, ayalerebakaya brestelerebakaya, ayomandukaya brestelerebakaya, shanderebekia, kibasustaya brestelerebeke, ayelerebekia staya, ayelerebekia staya, loba bondiri bekaya bre. Lava bandiri bikaya bre. Lava bandiri bikaya bre. Imaya satatata. Rikataya brekataya. Ayelere bekaya. Miantoya brasaya. Yonara bazaya. Ayelere bekaya. Ayelere bekaya. Yamamasua. 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 Shandere bekia. Yamamasua. Yamamasua. Elaya kataya. Yabua salara babandikaya. Bindorobokaya. Yamamasua. Lamamasua. Yamamasua. Yamamasua. Likaya brastelaraba. Likaya brastelaraba. Ayababa. Ayababa. Ayemasaya kata. Maluako. Alikesete. Ayabo
Shanabahai. Aliko. Yiva.